Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Peterson here. Today is Friday, September the 1st. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. Did you miss me? I know you guys did. I haven't been able to do these because obviously I'm running for the United States Senate here in Missouri, baby. But a lot of people do write in or email me or send me messages sometimes on Facebook or Twitter saying, hey, I really missed the podcast. Well, it gets harder and harder, of course, to spend time doing the podcast when I'm doing interviews on radio and television and all kinds of exciting things are happening. And of course, I spend a lot of my time fundraising for the campaign. But of course, when someone says, hey, I'd love to sponsor an ad in your podcast, well, then there's an incentive to do so. So I'll be right back after this ad. I'd like to share the story of a true American hero with you today, the story of a man named Buddy. Buddy is an Army vet who spent his life defending his country and his fellow man. But when Buddy needed help, the screwed up legal system turned on him and threw him in jail, simply for defending his family. You see, when his daughter's angry ex-boyfriend showed up on Buddy's doorstep with a gang of thugs, he did what any responsibly armed American would do. He protected his family. But when the cops showed up, they arrested him. That's when Buddy called the USCCA, because he knew that his membership gave him exclusive access to a network of pro-Second Amendment attorneys, upfront funding for bail and legal fees, and the peace of mind that someone was on his side. The USCCA got Buddy back to his daughter, wife, and life, and they can do the same for you. Visit freedomdefend.com to see their world-class training and resources, as well as their invaluable self-defense coverage. And as an added bonus, when you activate your membership, you'll get a free $75 range bag. Again, that's freedomdefend.com. freedomdefend.com. Hello, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. Today's topic is one that has been blowing up the news recently, and it's been quite shocking for me because finally we have started to see some Democrats, leftists, social Democrats start to do what they have been demanding of conservatives and libertarians to do for so long, which is to call out the bad actors or the extremists within their ranks. And today I saw an article front page of Politico by Josh Meyer talking about Antifa. The story is called FBI Homeland Security Warn of More Antifa Attacks. And confidential documents call the anarchists that seek to counter white supremacist domestic terrorists. And as some of you may have seen, I actually ruffled a few feathers and got some press recently when I said explicitly that Antifa was a terrorist organization. That got a little bit of news over at libertyhangout.com and some praise from people who said, hey, finally a politician who gets it. Well, of course, obviously. But the truth is that, you know, I've also been calling out the white supremacists and the hyper-nationalists of the alt-right as well for the last couple of years, which has, you know, caused me no end of grief. Of course, and then when you call out, it's so much easier to call out the left, right, when their extremists are misbehaving or inciting riots or violence. So, of course, I get a lot more praise for that than I do when I'm saying, hey, by the way, there's some Nazis trying to hang out with us, FYI. But today we're going to talk about the Antifa threat, and it's finally starting to pop up on people's radar. So let me read to you this article from Politico, and then I'm going to read to you, if you haven't read it already, another article that I wrote the other day, which went, I mean, insanely viral, called Yes, You Can Reject Antifa Commies and Alt-Right Nazis at the Same Time. But let's start with the Politico article just so we can get a little bit of background on what's going on with Antifa. What is Antifa? I mean, they call themselves anti-fascists despite the fact that they use fascist tactics. So let's take a look and we'll get into this story because it's something that's finally blowing up because of people like Nancy Pelosi, of all people, starting to call them out. Federal authorities have been warning state and local officials since early 2016 that leftist extremists known as Antifa had become increasingly confrontational and dangerous, so much so that the Department of Homeland Security formally classified their activities as, quote, domestic terrorist violence, according to interviews and confidential law enforcement documents obtained by Politico. Since well before the August 12th rally in Charlottesville, Virginia turned deadly, DHS has been issuing warnings about the growing likelihood of lethal violence between the left-wing anarchists and right-wing white supremacists and nationalist groups. Previously unreported documents disclosed that by April 2016, Authorities believed that anarchist extremists were the primary instigators of violence at public rallies against a range of targets. Let me repeat that. They believed that they were the primary instigators, meaning the initiators of violence at public rallies. They were blamed by authorities for attacks on the police, government, and political institutions, along with symbols of, quote, the capitalist system, racism, social injustice, and fascism, according to a confidential 2016 joint intelligence assessment by DHS and the FBI. After President Donald Trump's election in November, the Antifa activists locked onto another target, his supporters, especially those from white supremacist and nationalist groups suddenly turning out in droves to hail his victory, support crackdowns on immigrants and Muslims, and to protest efforts to remove symbols of the Confederacy. Those reports appear to bolster Trump's insistence that extremists on the left bore some blame for the clashes in Charlottesville and represent a, quote, problem nationally. But they also reflect to the extent that his own political movement has spurred the violent backlash. Yeah, well, sure, but I mean, here's the thing. This is just me editorializing here. Extremists on the left were to blame for some of the clashes in Charlottesville, and Donald Trump got raked over the coals for that. And he was the one who was blamed for saying that there were bad people on both sides. And people were saying, oh, well, there were no good people on both sides. And of course, it was only the white supremacists who were the bad guys. Well, now we see that that's not true. And finally, the leftists are having to acknowledge it because of these violent commies coming out and finally, attacking peaceful protesters. In California last week at Berkeley, there was a peaceful Trump supporter event, and Antifa activists came up and attacked peaceful assembly, people who were assembly. They were attacking people just because of their political views. In interviews, law enforcement authorities made clear that Trump's inflammatory rhetoric and policies, first as a candidate and then as a president, helped to create a situation that has escalated so quickly and extensively that they do not have a handle on it. Quote, it was in that period that we really became aware of them, said senior law enforcement officials, tracking domestic extremists in a state that has become a front line in clashes between the groups. Quote, these Antifa guys were showing up with weapons, shields, and bike helmets and just beating the shit out of people. They're using Molotov cocktails, they're starting fires, they're throwing bombs and smashing windows. Almost immediately, the right-wing targets of the Antifa attacks began fighting back, right? Fighting back. Bringing more and larger weapons and launching unprovoked attacks of their own, the documents and interviews show. And the extremists on both sides have been using the confrontations, especially since Charlottesville, to recruit unprecedented numbers of new members, raise money, and threaten more confrontations, they say. Quote, everybody is wondering, what are we going to do? How are we going to deal with this? Said the senior state law enforcement official. Every time they have one of these protests where both sides are bringing guns, there are sphincters tightening in my world. Emotions get high and fingers get twitchy on the trigger. Even before Charlottesville, dozens and in some cases hundreds of people on both sides showed up at events in Texas, California, Oregon, and elsewhere, carrying weapons and looking for a fight. In the Texas capital of Austin, armed Antifa protesters attacked Trump supporters and white groups at several recent rallies and then swarmed police in a successful effort to stop them from making arrests. California has become another battleground with violent confrontations in Berkeley, Sacramento, and Orange County leading to numerous injuries. And Antifa counter-protesters initiated attacks in two previous clashes in Charlottesville, according to the law enforcement reports and interviews. Rallies are scheduled over the next few months across the country, including in Texas, Oregon, Missouri, and Florida. Authorities are particularly concerned about those in states where virtually anyone, including activists under investigation for instigating violence, can brandish assault rifles in public. Tensions have gotten so heated that after activists traded accusations after Charlottesville, a rumor circulated online that Antifa would try and shut down the massive Sturgis, South Dakota motorcycle rally because there were too many Confederate flags and Trump signs. It wasn't true, but it prompted an outpouring of pleas by attendees for anti-fascists to come so they could assault them. One displayed a, quote, Sturgis survival kit for potential Antifa protesters, complete with a tourniquet, morphine, body cast, and defibrillator. Both the racists and the segment of violent Antifa counter-protesters are amped for battle in an escalating arms race where police departments are outmaneuvered, resulting in an increasingly violent and dangerous confrontation, said former New York City police officer Brian Levin, who has been monitoring domestic militants for 31 years now at the Center for Study of Hate and Extremism at California State University, San Bernardino. Quote, Bernardino. It's an orchestrated dance. The rallies spill over into social media, and then even more people to show up at the next rally primed for violent confrontation. In recent decades, authorities have focused almost exclusively on right-wing groups as the most likely instigators of domestic terrorist violence, especially since Timothy McVeigh blew up the Oklahoma City Federal Building in 1995, killing 168 people. More recently, the Antifa groups, which some describe as the Anti-Fascist Action Network, have evolved out of the leftist anti-government groups like Black Bloc, protesters clad in black and wearing masks that caused violence at events like the 1999 Seattle World Trade Organization protests. They claim to have no leader and no hierarchy, but authorities following them believe they are organized via decentralized networks of cells that coordinate with one another. Often, they spend weeks planning for violence at upcoming events. According to the April 2016 DHS and FBI report entitled Baseline Comparison of U.S. and Foreign Anarchist Extremist Movements, dozens of armed anti-fascist groups have emerged, including Redneck Revolt and the Red Guards, according to the reports and interviews. One report from New Jersey authorities said self-described Antifa groups have been established in cities such as New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, and San Francisco. Oh, right. Why are we surprised? If you had to pick, four or five cities where you think that communists are going to gather, it's going to be New York, Philly, Chicago, and San Francisco. Some of the DHS and FBI intelligence reports began flagging the Antifa protesters before the election. In one from last September, portions of which were read to Politico, DHS studied, quote, recent violent clashes at lawfully organized white supremacist events, including a June 2016 rally at the California Capitol in Sacramento organized by the Traditional Workers Party and its affiliate, the Golden State Skinheads. According to police, counter-protesters linked to Antifa and affiliated groups like by any means necessary attacked, causing a riot over which at least 10 people were hospitalized and there were some stab wounds. And this goes on. There's like two more pages of this. I'll link to this in the podcast so that you guys can read the rest of this story. But I mean, it's absolutely fascinating. And it's about freaking time, because the problem is that, and I was talking about this the other day when I went to the University of Dayton, when I was talking about the issue of free speech. The problem is that the Antifa protesters, the communists, they want to take away a fundamental right to free speech. They want to take away a fundamental right. And that's the thing. In the United States, no matter how stupid or hateful or bigoted you are, you have a right to speak your stupid, hateful, bigoted views in public. And think about this. Here I am. I'm exercising my First Amendment rights right now. And communists, anti-capitalists, the Antifa, I don't even like calling them anti-fascists, because I'm the real anti-fascist, yo. I am the true anti-fascist. Libertarians are the true anti-fascists. And the truth is that there really isn't a whole lot of difference between Antifa and the white supremacists. The only difference is that one side is racist and the other side claims to be anti-racist. But here's the truth, and we're going to get to my article right now that went mega viral last week and everybody was talking about, yo. Yes, you can reject Antifa commies and alt-right Nazis at the same time, because the truth is they are all the same side of the Janus coin. Here we are, Austin Peterson writing August 15th, so it would have been 2 weeks ago. Headline news at the Libertarian Republic. Tragic events in Charlottesville, VA provided a flashpoint to the nation for us to have a discussion that we have been putting off too long. The past few years of extremist politics have turned fringe ideas into mainstream ones, with Antifa communists and alt-right Nazis getting plenty of the attention they crave but do not deserve. And why is this happening? Now, just like I read in Politico, Antifa activists have been gathering steam for some time now, with a major incident that brought them in the public eye, the riots at Berkeley over the appearance of Milo Yiannopoulos. Antifa communists also gained attention when they assaulted Richard Spencer, that idiot, that lunatic guy who was punched in the face while giving an interview in the streets of D.C. And Antifa has successfully popularized the idea that Nazis should be punched, since their ideology leads to violence. But never mind that history has shown that fascist movements have never even approached the body count of communist regimes in their morbid tally of human sacrifices on the altar of the omnipotent state. Now, perhaps they ought to remove the beam from their own eye before trying to clean the speck from their statist counterparts. And what about the alt-right? Are the alt-right, are they all entirely fascist? No. So are some parts of it? Absolutely. Now, some of these people are sincere conservatives who, in their gripe with establishment politics, not serving the working man, are legitimate, right? Some of them are anarcho-capitalists with ties to the libertarian traditions, but who have warped that philosophy with their views on creating an ethno-state, people like Christopher Cantwell. Now, this is an idea that flies in the face of the true ideas of peaceful voluntarism, and a lot of these alt-right people are just bored teenagers who flock to whatever is the biggest fad in politics, latching on to whatever movement is ascendant at the time. And finally, some are sincere national socialists, Nazis. I hate these guys. Now, we know this not just because of the flags they are waving, but because they believe in universal healthcare, national socialism, so that when they control the government, of course, it can be denied to minorities. And we know this because they aren't truly pro-life. They're pro-life for white babies, but minorities can off themselves all they like. They have nothing in common with libertarian or conservative traditions, and they should be rightly shunned by society. They represent nothing in common with American traditions. Now, what's astounding about these two groups, the Antifa commies and the alt-right Nazis, is the minimum degrees of separation between their political ideals. Both represent big government. Both represent central planning. Both represent a form of socialism which decrees that an individual's liberty must give way to the nation state. Communism and Nazism are merely the Janus coin, reflecting one another and battling for supremacy over who will control the commanding heights of the economy. But Nazis weren't socialists, say the Bernie bros and burnouts. Yes, they were. Oh, but it's democratic socialism. Yeah, right. You're just Trotsky waiting to get the ice pick in the back of the head until Stalin can take over. Socialism is central planning. The Nazi platform demanded the nationalization of enterprise. They demanded old age pension schemes. Sound familiar? And the communal ownership of department stores. The Nazis despised materialism, aka capitalism, and sought to replace it with a socialized system. They wanted socialization of higher education, compulsory physical fitness, and the subsidization of government-approved works of art. Hello, NEA. Socialism is what socialism socializes. Alt-right leader Richard Spencer has proudly supported universal healthcare and Scandinavian socialism. Boo. Nazism and communism are both twin evils. Both are wrong, and while